Well, everybody's been hearing what is confronting all about? What does it mean?
I was remembering, I think, you quoted somebody at one point that said something like, a life unexamined is not worth living.
That's Socrates.
That's Socrates. Anyway, that seems to be along the same line. If I'm not at least aware of and examining what it is I'm living, and I'm probably doing, no, probably, I am doing same old, owner body stuff.
Well, let's assume that doesn't work. Now what?
Assuming examining self-awareness?
That's right.
Okay. If that doesn't work, okay, that's right, that doesn't necessarily work. That just says, there it is. But that isn't confronting it at all, is it?
Sometimes you need somebody external to yourself to push you to look.
I think I could go along with that.
Well, the issue is that you won't confront. You may examine, but you won't confront what you believe normally at all. You believe it, so it's natural, and in that way then you won't make an effort to seriously question what you believe.
Yeah, because you're in your comfort zone and that seems to work for you whether it works or not.
Because you don't know how to do this, and you're then confronting yourself with your beliefs, so that you're really not confronting yourself. Look, as an architect, as a lone architect, I have to confront every decision I make. I have no choice in the matter. Because I have, when you build it, if I haven't confronted it, I'll guarantee you in Fairbanks, Alaska, that the weather will confront it, or usage will confront it, or does it work? Will that confront it? For instance, Frank, and if you're not a lone architect, but if you're like Frank Lloyd Wright, and no matter what, he is the decision maker. The houses that I've seen look all right, of Frank Lloyd Wright, but the houses I've been in are a frigging disaster to live in. It's not a space that is, in my opinion, that is the least bit livable.
It's certainly not user friendly.
So, the question is, as a single architect for years, most architects, what they do is they design a building and justify, hey, do I hear that often from people? I guess I do. So instead of confronting what is going on or what you're doing or your design or anything else, you spend the time justifying your building or your design or whatever. Do we understand that?
Yes, but I'm not entirely sure then what, let's say in the context of a single lone architect confronting his work, what does that look like?
Well, it's like one contractor said to me one time, I don't think architects know anything about gravity. You've got to confront every detail, not as a completed detail, but as a detail in the way it can be made or constructed. And you have to confront every building that's going to be full of people, their usage of the space. and things of that nature. You can't just say this looks good or this feels good. If it doesn't work well, it's not. I'm getting a buzz. Do you guys get a buzz?
No.
No.
Oh, well, my phone just went beep, beep. So that's what I'm talking about in confronting everything you do. Now, if I had a bunch of guys and we were working together, then there can be somebody in the group that is, they say, well, I don't think it's going to really work. Or something is wrong here, or something should be changed here. But if you're the only architect on the job, then you have to do that. You may have worked your ass off on a design. Now you've got to be able to tear it apart.
So are you saying then, as an architect anyway, that at least and part of this confronting is that you put yourself in the shoes of a person using the building?
Or building the building, or paying for the building, or anything of that nature. You've got to do that to make sure that the building works. Not that it looks good, that could be okay too, and etc. But does it work for its intended purpose? Years ago, my aunt, Aunt Grace, my mother's sister, came to Florida when I was down in Florida, and she complained that maybe I was too critical. A few years later, Aunt Grace died, and she had cancer of the mouth. At first she lost half of her tongue, and then they took off the other half of her tongue. And then they started taking off her jaw, the surgeons, because that was the only way that they could stop the cancer in her mouth, is to surgically remove it. Well, that meant removing a whole lot of stuff. Well, before my aunt died, she wrote to my mother and said, "Why didn't you tell me?" Now, there's one thing I haven't said. Aunt Grace was a nurse. She was a nurse in the 30s and in the 40s, and by this time was in the 50s when she died. But my Aunt Grace smoked for years Camel cigarettes. Unfiltered on everything. There was nothing worse than Camel cigarettes, even in the old days when they were trying to sell. And when she said, "Why didn't you tell me?" She was a nurse. She knew, but she wouldn't confront her own actions. And so that's the way she died. That's an extreme. Well, I could give you another extreme case. My father had a violent temper. He was murdered for $250. Probably with a guy that worked in the office with him. But he was stopped out on the road and murdered for $250. He probably got freaking angry and the guy shot him. The point is, He would never really confront his anger. Okay, let's look at something. Supposing you had a dream. Dreams are asking you to take a look at things. Supposing you had a dream in which the ground under your feet was cracking and breaking and splitting and etc. What do you think that might be saying? Anybody?
There's a very, very ground or foundation of the dreamer is standing on is breaking up.
Okay. So, where would you go from there?
Into a fiery pit of hell.
I didn't hear you. What?
Into the fiery pit of hell.
Well, I'm just...
He meant to analyze.
Yeah, I'm talking about what would you say from that point on, or if this is your dream, what would you do from that point on?
I would want to give myself an entirely new or other foundation of my life.
So the dream doesn't tell you what to do, and the dream doesn't tell you how you react to it. The dream is only telling you what's going on. What you do about that is strictly up to you. So, in a sense, you would say the dream is confronting you or telling you what's going on. If I tell you or show you or explain the contradictions in your beliefs or the actions, and etc. Yeah, I'm confronting you, but I'm only confronting you in the sense that I'm telling you what your words are saying. What you do about that is up to you. And I'm trying to point out only like a dream then that maybe your basis of understandings are mutually self-contradictory. Okay. But there's nothing in the dream that tells you what you should or should not do in that kind of a dream. Well, let's continue this with dreams. In understanding a dream, you must follow only the action of the dream. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And you cannot say anything outside of the dream unless you want to announce it. Now, this I want to say this about somebody, about Shirley, whoever Shirley is, or about an event or something I know about Shirley or something else. You have to make note of the fact to those other people or to Shirley that you're talking outside of the dream. You cannot and must not say anything to Shirley that you cannot find in the dream, if you're talking about the dream. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. You don't follow it, but you understand it. Anything you add has nothing to do with the dream. Now, supposing we're talking about a subject, and we talk about a whole bunch of things, and I say to you, and then what? What do you do? Hello, anybody?
I think what I probably would do is rush to some kind of conclusion.
But like a dream, you're not entitled to do that. Even in a conversation, you're not entitled to do that. You're entitled only to you. If I say to you, and then what? You're not entitled to add anything that is not in and of the conversation up to that point. Because then you've changed the stuff you have to work with that I'm asking you about in that regard. You've added something to it, and usually what you've done is you've added something to it that had nothing to do necessarily with what we were talking about, in order for you to turn around everything we're talking about so that it can be what you want it to be. So, like a dream, if I then said, oh, well, you know, you better do this, or you better do that, or started talking about your relationships is falling apart, or this is falling apart, this is going to a problem. Even if I ask you, how did you feel about that? You could feel about that in the dream very scary, but that doesn't mean then that scary is what the dream is talking about. That only talks about your response to the dream. Are you understanding this?
Absolutely, yep.
Uh-huh.
So then when I say, and then what? You can only use the stuff we're talking about, not jump to a conclusion that you want to conclude, or don't add other things so that you can take the conversation to where you want to say it to go, but that from everything that we have said, and that's why I introduced this with dreams, everything I said about dreams, and I gave you enough information to then say, well, then when I say, and then what? You may use the information that we've said about dreams and the dream illustration, but you can't add anything else. But you can't say, well, then that means that I should do, or I must do, or et cetera, if we haven't talked about that. Now, I just have to get that said. All right. Now, what I want is someone, and Patrick, I guess you're elected. Let's see if we confront without being confronted. Let me see if you can answer my questions based on only what we've talked about, and do that in a way in which we don't get confronted. Is that okay?
Sure, let's give it a whirl.
So, in every ensuing moment, it supplants every preceding moment. What does this mean to you?
It means to me that every moment is a new moment. Separate and distinct from the previous moment.
Okay. Well done. When does a moment begin? Can you tell me that? You see how easy it is to really answer, or if you can't answer the question, you can ask me a question back, a what if, or a question itself, so that we have more to say work with in that regard. Well, if every ensuing moment supplants every prior moment, when does a moment begin? And if you want to say to me, well, we know that that means every moment is a different moment than the one, I know, but when did it begin? And when did it supplant? And when did the other one end? I'm hearing a clicking. Is it raining? Well, that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, we're hearing the clicking too. It's not very loud yet.
Hopefully it'll stay that way.
That's an interesting question. So does it mean that the answer, does it mean that when any time I pay attention is a new moment?
Well, I don't know. Is it? Can't you be a new moment even if you're not paying attention?
Come to think of it, yes.
So, when does a moment begin and begin supplanting a preceding moment? When does a preceding moment end to be supplanted? No, I didn't. I said because they haven't got any when in here. And how do you know? How do you sort this thing up? It doesn't. It's meaningless to say every moment, the ensuing moment supplants every preceding or prior moment if you can't tell me when one ends and one begins.
At the time that one ends and the other begins.
Do you want to deal with that in any way, Patrick?
I can't think of anything, but Karen had a good idea.
I'm ready.
What? 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock?
Yeah.
How about at the speed of a thought?
Well, that's how fast. I was wondering what when means.
Yeah, but you see, here is something. How many times have we said, every ensuing moment supplants every preceding moment, and everybody goes, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, when does that happen? When does the
preceding... It just did.
Huh?
It just did.
And again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
Yeah, but you got to deal with it, then, let's say, or what can we add to make any sense out of that? It doesn't make any sense. 2 o'clock, okay, fine, that's a good enough answer. But what does it mean? If you only have that information, is there enough information to put that one supplants the other and one precedes the other? Can you just take that information alone and say, well, and then what?
Well, then what is that I initiate every moment and it's entirely new and I do not need to build on a previous moment.
Wait just a minute now. What you're doing is
adding stuff in.
You're adding stuff in and you change the focus of the thing from moments to what you do, I do. This is what you constantly do. You change it or add it in and speak only from you. And the minute you do that, then anything I say, you take as confronting you. And all I'm doing is confronting the fact that you added information that is invalid and change the subject.
Well, unless there is something living a moment, there is no meaning to the statement that each moment supplants the previous moment. Unless it's actually something engaged in that, it's meaningless.
But could I say that in that, if you think it's meaningless and then you've dismissed it all, then can I say to you, then you can't determine continuing from discontinuing, or continuing from recurring, or even continuing from reoccurring.
But there is somebody, something doing that.
That doesn't matter. So we're not talking about that. We don't want to talk about the something. I'm just saying, then it can't be determined continuing from recurring. Or recurring from continuing. From the information that we've got, you don't add to it at the moment. If we want to add more information to it and then expand the conversation, that may or may not be all right. But you can't solve the problem by adding stuff into it that's not part of what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know that I could add anything to that conversation at the moment. Has anybody else got an idea?
Well, you tried to by then changing the subject to I do or I can or cannot do or et cetera. And I kept it within the, not my doing, but within that, that you can't, you can. I'm, that's a generic, corporate inclusive you. You can't distinguish between continuing and recurring. Now my question is, isn't that alone an important piece of information?
Well, I'd like to know how we left from the very simple evaluation of a simple statement into an entirely different subject area.
Well, what do you mean? Where are we not in? I'm using only the information that we had before.
Yeah, and now we're talking about continuing or recurring.
Okay, but that comes from the information that
we
have.
Every moment supplants.
Supplants every other or preceding moment. If you can't know that, you can't know when one quits, then you can't know or distinguish continuing from recurring.
I wish we could publish or put on a screen the circling hourglass as I'm examining that thought in my mind.
Do I know what that means?
Computer thing.
Well?
It's like Jeopardy. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay. Well, give him some music to think about. Okay, let's go somewhere else that I've gone before. In an expanding universe, every moment is a new and different universe. What does that mean to you?
Essentially the same as the previous statement, and that every moment is new and distinct and different from the previous iteration of the universe.
Okay, but I add, what does that mean to you? Now, I said that in there. So relative to you, that's not a change of subject.
Now you're in there.
Because I put you in there. Now, relative to you, what does that mean?
That means that I'm a new self or me in every moment.
And you can't distinguish between continuing and recurring.
Morph? No.
This is brand new moment. Morphing implies carrying a past.
This is starting to have a hint of something I can see now.
But so then let's talk outside of that a minute. So when you say then that you want to continue and be aware of your continuing, and I say, well, you're new and different in every moment, and you can't distinguish not continuing.
Yes. extinguish, not continue it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Okay, I'm going to, since the way it's going, I'm going to say some things that that I'll probably regret. Is it last week? Oh, wait, no, I'll back off from that. Can you summarize for me the major thing that we said last week? What was the major thing?
And we're addressing me again, right?
Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute.
The major thing we spoke of last week is that I am a merchant of the genetic code of my parents, that pure and simple, that is the self I am, and I have the opportunity and the freedom to choose to live other than that.
Okay. We said that, but what is the significance of having said there's two issues, at least two very important issues that plays to. One of the issues is this. This is your only beginning life. And the other one is, that's very important. Your body made you. If you are not your body, you are yourself. If the self is the pattern of the body, then your body made you. And your parents, in fact, are really your grandparents. And your real parent is your body. And if your body is mortal and it dies, it doesn't do you any good to say, but I go on. No, in that regard, you are as mortal as your body because your body made you. And only in that DNA pattern of your body continues do you continue. Want to play with that one? If you are not your body, you are the self, and self is the pattern of your DNA, which is the pattern of your body, which is what your parents made. This is your first life. And in fact, we might even say it's your first and your only life.
That is, from your description there, that's pretty clear, yeah.
But you see, you don't like that. So you'll take every way to twist the words around to say that somehow or other, that self, that spirit, that great, wondrous something or other, does continue and has continued. What if I say, wait a minute, your words about parents made a body which was a DNA and the pattern of the DNA was the self and that's you. How can you dispute that? How can you come back and say, well, there is a something, a spirit, a pattern that is me. Where is it? What are we talking about here? The language that we use gets so tricky in this regard that you have to confront your beliefs in this way. Now, the point is, what I said about last week is, If you cannot understand and are not willing to accept, as I've said before, you only live once. Well, this is your first and your once. Now, only with the information that we've talked about, how are you willing to deal with that? Do you want to unvolunteer, Patrick?
Sure, let's let somebody else have a turn for a bit.
Check in.
Anybody else? Karen? Andrew? Susan? Whoever else dinged in, do you want to follow this pattern?
I always have trouble following the pattern and not adding anything to it.
That's right, but you add it even when you're thinking about it. You won't think about it like a dream. You won't think about it in terms of the information. You'll come back and say, I don't have enough information. So you add stuff, and all of a sudden, the dream goes off in an entirely different direction. You've got to stay with the data of the dream and say, you do have enough information. It's only at every moment you have enough information. But what you're doing is you're adding consequences and different actions and memories, whatever. So let's start off.
So Roger, I guess maybe I'm definitely willing to give it a go. Here's what would help, since I always seem to screw that up. So if you just take the information you have, how does one progress the subject without adding anything?
Because it's the way you can mix them up. And all we're doing right now in this thing is dealing, like in every moment, you have to make a step forward the next moment. You have to make a decision based only upon what you already know. You have no additional information than what you already know.
Okay, so if I took a stab at it, and I said, just based on that information, it tells me, first off, that I'm free, because I don't carry any baggage from the past. And if I carried baggage from the past, then that would predetermine my life and act as my God.
Yeah. Let's say it has more as your dictator.
Right. So that would be the first thing I would say.
Okay. So if this is your first life in this regard, now what has happened in this is that you're living. The self is a fake self, created from your parents. It's a fake self, but you have a fake self in order to have memories to work with.
Well, I don't know if I would go with it's a fake self. It is the self that came with that body. Now, is that the self that I wish to continue? Well, that's a different question.
It isn't, as a starter, is that the self that you would be willing to continue being and living only?
For me, no.
Then it's a fake self. That's what I'm talking about. Because the answer is, to almost everyone, is going to be, well, yeah, but not really, no, etc.
Another thing that information tells me that if I only live that, what you call, fake self, then I will live a life that is basically predetermined by my DNA. Nothing more, nothing less, and when it dies, I die.
And you have no free will in that.
That's why I said it's predetermined by the DNA.
That's predetermined, and your memories and your actions and
all the
your
memories,
responses are only reactive to what was predetermined.
All the memories that I would be using as my data and information would be from the past lives of that DNA.
But you didn't choose them.
No. But those are all I have to draw from and to live from.
So once you're alive, then, in this regard, we're saying that you can live this self, or you can choose the self and life you would truly be willing to be and live eternally or abidingly or any word you want.
Yes.
Is that okay with everybody?
No, not yet. Where in any of that we spoke of says that I can live anything other than what my gene pattern?
Nothing yet. You added.
But how does it get if all I got is the DNA that I have?
But along
and
with
the pattern that
along with that DNA comes intelligence.
Well, not necessarily.
Hopefully.
No. But you say, where did it come from? You added it, and I therefore allowed her to continue it. See, if you don't add it in that regard, as we've talked about it, then from that information,
you have
only a loner body
predetermined.
Now,
right.
That's the way it was until 1953, or even a little later than that, when we didn't really know anything about DNA, its structure, its actions, or anything else. You didn't have any choice. What I'm trying to do is take DNA that what we know, and not talking about it, well, we're going to say you're the murderer, but say more about that and create a information for you that you don't otherwise have. And that information is that you can live as your loner body, but DNA and what we know about the body itself allows you to choose the self and life that you would be willing to be and live. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
And as we go along, the reason for going so far and adding nothing is to say, well, what is your choice? And as Miss M says, you don't have any choice. That's it. You have to live your loner body, period. What I'm coming along is to say, wait a minute, now that we can understand DNA and we can understand stem cells, which we do nothing about, and we can understand all sorts of things, then now you have options, which you didn't have before. Is that okay?
Did I not have them before, or did I not know that I had them before?
Well, you didn't have them because you didn't know about them.
But I really question that people did not live beyond their loner selves in the past.
But then if they did that, they did that by accident.
I agree.
Okay. Now what I'm trying to do is to point this out so it isn't an accidental event in your life. You can do this if your choice is that you want a choice as to how you will live and who you will be, you can do that. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the only way we can get here is to stop, is to question as we go along one step at a time and work with only the information that we have. If we then want to add information, we can do that in our conversation. You can't do that with a dream, but you can do that as you go along. Is this all right?
Yes.
Then there are no continuing memories. Is that okay?
With just loner body. I don't know if they drop off the earth or what.
No, they're if there are no continuing memories,
the only way
for an uninformed or unreformed loner self, or I lose track of where we're at now.
If you just live the loner self with just the information that you've been given and nothing else, there is no continuum, because when the body dies, the self dies.
Oh, that's right.
The only continuing that there is if they reproduce, then their past life up to that moment could be passed on to their progeny.
Now,
there's certainly awareness.
Now, wait. I don't want to go there.
Okay.
I want us to stay on the platform that we've dealt with so far. Is it possible for me to say to you, and you understand this, that we can't go on and talk about what you can or cannot do if you regenerate yourself and body and self to abiding until we get there? We haven't gotten there.
Nobody's talking abiding at this moment.
Well, abiding means continuing in this regard. There is no continuum.
If you just live on yourself. No.
Is this okay?
Yep, that's clear.
Yeah.
Now, can you say that there are no continuing memories?
Yes.
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 Is that okay?
Yeah, I got that.
No continuing memories.
Memories are in the brain.
Okay. Not memory wise. Yep.
No, wait a minute. Don't be so glib about that. There's no memory either. No continuing memory. Why? Either. And I'm going to say to you at the present moment that if you regenerate your body and self to abiding, there is no continuing memories, and there is no continuing memory. Is that okay?
I think you're going to have to explain that to me.
No, I don't want to go there yet, but I just want to say, is that okay? If that's not okay, just speak up now, because I want the consequences of it not being okay to be something that we can deal with, and I won't deal with it now.
I see it with memory, but no memory why I don't see it.
How about the rest of you guys?
I don't see it either. I that seems contrary to what I have come to understand in the past.
It's not, I don't care what you understood from the past. Don't bring it in. You're only allowed to bring up supplanting, and you can't tell the difference between continuing and recurring, and expanding universe is a different universe. Then there is no continuing memory or memories.
Yeah, I just need you to tell me, like, so when you, I guess I'm not sure what continuing memory is. Does that mean, like, living ongoing in body?
You think that no matter how it is, that there's an ongoing thing, and that you're learning, growing, developing, evolving, changing, etc., and that you have all these great memories to draw from as a foundation of your life. What if that's not true?
Well, right. Hang on. See, now, right there, so it sounds like you're talking about, like, where someone would say, well, okay, I somehow continue in memory, and I'm not saying that. Just trying to clarify. By the very nature of the word memory, for some reason, my association is in the universe, there's memory stored, but I could say it's not continuing. I think I could go with that.
But there is no continuing you.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm following this. No continuing you, no continuing memory.
You can't say that you continue in memories, because there is no continuing you. Is that okay?
Right, I think I'm clear about that. I just think... So here's a question. Fine, there's no continuing memory. What do I do with that stuff we discussed, that somewhere in the universe I can entangle with memory? Is that just in the universe but not continuing?
That's not you.
Yeah, it's not me. I get that. It's getting information in the universe.
To be you, you have to have all the genetic information to be that self.
Right, and I'm really saying in this memory had no connection to any me, self, or anything. I'm just trying to clarify that.
I don't understand what you're asking. I think I understand what you're asking.
When I'm hearing you say there's no continued memory, I'm either thinking, then memory in the universe does not exist.
What I don't understand, if I say to you, there is no continuing you, and there is no continuing memory, why is the discussion headed toward memory and not dealing with you?
Because I feel like I understand you're saying there's no continuing you.
If you understand there's no continuing you, then why is it that you can't understand that there is no continuing memory?
Simply because for many, many Monday nights, we've talked about the memory in the universe that some other being can access. And I don't know what
I said, continuing memory of you.
Oh, you did? Oh, I said memory in general. Okay. Thank you. I think I understand you.
There is no continuing memory of you.
Okay.
Or for you, or about you, or etc. Then what are the implications of that from this point? If for 20 years you've only wanted to continue, well, all right, here we are at 2015, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, that's not where we're going, that's not what we're talking about. You guys want to hang up now? And do you not then begin understanding why I say, until you really, really, really get this, we can't go any further, because the only basis or premise of your life is that, in some way or another, something you continue.
I think I got that, actually. No problem there.
But, Why is there no problem? Are you ready to just give yourself up?
Do I want it that way?
No.
Now, that message is right. That's the complete sentence for me over the last, like, 4 weeks is, I get there's no, I understand. You have to understand. I understand there's no continuing you self or anything.
I don't think.
Like that, but I'm just saying I understand that.
You keep saying I understand that, then talk about that. Talk about your understanding. And then what?
It becomes the. No, really, Roger. I understand that insofar as there is no then what for that self that we're talking about.
That's not necessarily true. You added a word and then you changed something. There is no continuing you. And then
right.
What?
So from just to keep clear about that, I don't have a then what as part of that equation.
Maybe you should, because all I said is we can't go on from here and talk about then what if you don't understand this.
But see, so in my
then what comes into it, then what comes in several forms. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. So I don't understand much about then what, but I thought I was being very clear about where we are. So.
No, you're not. You're not clear at all. You just say, I understand it, but you don't think you do understand it, because I said, then talk to me about that. If you understood it,
well,
you...
Okay. Right. Well, so from just taking the words that I think that I have gathered from this, there is no continuing you. That's the end of that part of the discussion for me.
That's not true. May I ask you a question?
Sure.
When does one moment end and another moment begin?
When there's something that changes.
Oh, then maybe there is a way of continuing you, but you can't know it.
Funny how far I've come, I say, I don't like that. Okay. There is a continuing.
I said, maybe.
Alright, what if maybe, yeah.
See, so you don't necessarily understand it. You only want a continuing you. Tell me,
hey,
what
now,
is the difference?
Hang on, wait. Now, in the effort not to add anything to the conversation, I said what I said. I think you just added something to the conversation.
Well, I don't disagree. I did. What I did was I challenged you that you said you understand. I challenged you then to tell me then what from the information that...
Without... Sure, but without the information you added, could I answer the question and continue talking about that, then what?
But I said there is no continuing you, so I brought you into the pattern.
Right.
Then speak to me. Is that what you
want?
Here's
my question, because this would help me a bit. Would, with just the information I have had for the last couple of weeks, is there a way to then what that conversation?
Sure. Just from tonight.
Just from tonight?
Sure. You don't need last week or the week before. Just from tonight. That's why I started out the way I did in terms of, well, in confronting and talking about dreams was to set the conditions of this conversation. But then when we got into talking to Patrick, every ensuing moment supplants every preceding moment. What does this mean to you? And when does a moment begin and when does a supplanted moment end? When you can't answer those questions, that applies to what we're saying. You cannot distinguish continuing from recurring. You can't even distinguish continuing from not continuing. If I say this is your... What the hell was that?
We lost somebody.
So who we got on here?
I'm here.
Yeah, when there's that Aaron
has. I'm here, Susan.
Susan might have lost Angela.
I'm here, Angela.
Well, hello, Angela.
Hi, Roger.
You and Waimea?
Yeah, I just got home. I think that was maybe Andrew that lost. Is Andrew still there?
Doesn't sound like it.
Nope. I think we lost Andrew.
Well, Patrick, let's go back to you. Are you willing to carry on?
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
But are you beginning to understand how language itself distorts everything?
Oh, very much so. And that's the everything we've talked about is I find myself trapped in the dilemma of language.
So that the point of it is, when you agree that every moment supplants every preceding moment, you don't take that information and apply it in that previous information we've talked about. You don't apply that in, let's call it, confronting your life or confronting yourself. When you can't tell me when a moment begins and a moment ends, you don't take that into consideration.
So have we come to a definition of when that occurs?
No. That's not important.
No.
When that occurs doesn't matter. But doesn't it mean that while you say you want to continue and your life is based on continuing, is it possible that that premise screws you?
You mean because I couldn't define it? So what use is it? Or beyond?
Because you take everything I say and try to fit it into a continuing pattern, and you can't even know continuing. And when you put it into a continuing pattern in that regard, then it would say that all of your, and here I'm going to, you didn't like the word last week that I used, forgiveness. But then you're going to say that if you continue, you don't continue the good stuff and drop off the bad stuff. No, you continue it all. Every mistake, every problem, every pissed off attitude. If you continue, then they continue as well in memory and in memories. And so I'm saying what I said last week is, can you see that death and resurrection is forgiveness? Forgiveness without judgment. It allows you to continue that you don't know in the continuing sense. But without continuing, all the crap.
And what
the begin again then is the...
What you are you speaking of?
There is no continuing self. Is it possible then, we say, as you would say, in loner beings, that there is no continuing self, therefore there is no continuing? Is it possible for you to then make a continuing self? And when you do that, then everything starts changing. But until now, there is no continuing self.
If you make a continuing self, then you are speaking of a life.
Okay. has no beginning and no end. Just using the word abiding in that regard. If that's the case, then abiding is, as I said last week, that you're not apparently aware of the absolute importance of regenerating your body. Patrick, we're talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Is it true then that in regenerating my body, I am regenerating the pattern that is me?
Of course. In other words, instead of the body generating the self is generating the body.
At that point.
Is it possible then at all for you to then knowingly live that self?
I think so.
But only if you create that self in the first place. If you create and live only the self that was given to you, and you don't create that self in this lifetime or in anywhere else, in any time, then there is no continuum.
Absolutely.
And regenerating the body means also regenerate my DNA.
That is what we're speaking of. That's what that means.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So my question in this is, would, and I've asked you this before, Patrick, would you want to continue the self you are and are living today, yes or no?
And I've always answered no. And I answer no as well today.
So that at death, then, you start all over again.
I don't like that.
Well, I'm using the I in a funky sort of a way.
I want to make sure I'm clear here. Continuing to live my loner self, that when this body craps out and I die, that's it, gone, sayonara, no continuing, goodbye, and that's it. There's nothing, right?
Right. Is that okay? In other words, what religion has done is say, well, if you're faithful and trusting and hopeful and all that kind of, you believe in Jesus Christ or Allah or whatever, then you'll go to heaven and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's assume that none of that is true. Let's assume that the prima facie evidence we now have relative to the DNA says that that's not true. My question is, do you want to continue in, let's call it, everlasting life?
And I answer that to the affirmative, yes.
You want to continue in everlasting life. Then let me ask you this question. How about all the ships?
I want to go. I've been sarcasm really loud here. I want to go to a cleansing program.
Well, how do you do that?
By regenerating my body itself.
Tell me how.
Living only that which I be prepared to live eternally and would be proud of.
Then, in that, then, you're saying that if every action is that which you'd be willing to be and live eternally and be proud of in that regard, then in that, you don't have any shit you're carrying with you.
Well,
you cleanse yourself not only by regenerating yourself essentially in that or some other similar way, right?
That's correct.
So if you don't cleanse yourself, that would mean then that the memories or memory that you carry on would not be memories of bad stuff. It would be only memories of your experiencing what you would truly be and live eternally and be proud of, right?
Correct.
So does this give you then, in this, what you just said and what we're talking about, does this give you a different view of regenerating yourself? In what way? Talk about it. You're free to talk about it.
Well, that's actually, there is this sense of a freedom and accessibility to truly live as I truly desire, not just wishful think about it, to be get into action the life that I truly desire. It's not something to think about, it's to be lived.
But more than that.
Well, it seems to me it's quite limitless and very, very expansive.
Talk to me in particulars. Don't give me adjectives and adverbs.
Well, that gives me the experience of actually living as an abiding being. That is, could I ask for anything more to truly, as I truly desire living, is to be living as an abiding being.
You can't have that.
In living as an abiding being, I can't have it?
No.
I will. Are you suggesting I'd never experience that?
What I'm suggesting is that you are not then experiencing that. You are that.
Can we talk about the distinction between that? Between the two. In living it, don't I experience it?
Here's an example I've used before. I'll give you two examples. I've said, oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to paint like Michelangelo? And then he paints the Sistine Chapel for 3 years or 6 years or whatever it takes. As far as he is talking about, it's not the great painting or the thing, it's Oma aching back. What I said was that if you create the universe that you're living in, then as you change, your universe changes with you so that you can experience your change or yourself in that way. You can only experience yourself by not being yourself or being other than yourself. This is why I was looking for a way for you to experience being and living eternally by looking back at yourself. Do you understand? Do you have an understanding? In other words, if you're doing it, and if that's who you are, that's who I am and that's what I do, you can't experience that as abiding, because that's what you normally do.
So it seems to me then that in order to experience like I'm talking about it, I have to almost stop being abiding to look at it.
If you're willing to, wait a minute, let me see this. What I tried to do when I started doing reading, I set up a pattern for getting into a state of consciousness that I would know when I was doing architecture or when I was doing readings or when I was doing several other things. Okay. I could know that I set it up so that I know that I went through that doorway. But at that point, I don't feel any different. It seems so normal and naturally me that I don't feel, say, in this case, abiding. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And in fact, it is purposefully that way, because if you feel or experience abiding, that's because you're standing outside of being abiding. And so that's what I wanted with eternal when we said there, okay, go stand over there in that and look back at yourself to see what you're doing from a different perspective, because in the midst of your doing, you can't really experience you could experience doing, but you couldn't experience that as you doing in the sense of abiding, or you doing as in the sense of personal. It's just you doing.
Yeah.
So when you set yourself a goal to get to be abiding, you defeated yourself because you want to experience abiding. And if you're experiencing abiding, you're not abiding.
And experiencing is setting goals.
Is what?
Setting goals.
I don't know what you said.
Goals?
Setting goals?
Yes, setting goals.
Yeah, but I said set goal. I said set goals and be your goal.
Right, wear it. Then, yes.
That's right, but then you are the goal, so you're not experience your becoming or attaining to the goal per se. If you're attaining to the goal in that regard, like a cause and effect thing that we're talking about, then you ain't it.
Right.
That is,
as long as I experience it as standing outside.
That's right. And in that, then, by wanting to experience it that way, you've defeated yourself. By saying you want to experience a certain way, or feel abiding, or no abiding in that regard, you defeated yourself. Would you rather be abiding or no abiding? Okay, Patrick, we're back to you. Would you rather be abiding or no abiding? If you're being abiding, you can't know it. If you know it, you ain't it.
Simple, isn't it?
Of course it is. It all ends up to be simpler, but the language getting there distorts everything, and it distorts it so much that you can't even, because you're using the language to think and to image or whatever, which is distorted, you can't in that regard then even notice the distortion, because your noticer is distorted. Your feelings are distorted, so you can't feel that. And if you're feeling a certain way, you ain't it. Well, wait a minute, you laugh, but then if you feel happy, you're not happy.
Oh my goodness.
That's right. It's what I've said. Understand that what we talk about and the way we talk about it makes absolutely no sense in that regard. And you language, I was trying to get you out of languaging something and and create a picture and then describe the picture so that I can understand from your description, not from the way you language it. If you're happy, you are not happy.
So I would never expect you to hear from you that you're happy with your work. I might hear from you that you feel that your work is complete.
No, you wouldn't even do that. I guarantee you'll never do that.
He's never done.
It's like every time you change, like every moment in an expanding universe is a new and different universe. Didn't we say that? Then in an expanding, an ever-expanding self, every moment is a new and different self. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so when people talk about feelings and talk about these knowings and these things, if you know it, you ain't it. It's just as plain can be. But that doesn't prevent you from doing it. There are ways to do it, whereas I can't think of a better word. You subvert languaging. If you stay within languaging, you can't get past that problem. So what we essentially said last week is every life, this is your first and only life. Now, in that regard, we're not just talking about you. We're saying even if you want a continuing you to talk about, which makes it very difficult to talk about, but even if you do, this is your first and only life. Now you.
Oh, Jesus Maria.
What?
I think I just had an enlightenment.
Good.
An
epiphany.
Hey, what?
An epiphany.
Epiphany. Okay. Well, that's the purpose of this. And when you hang tough on language, and what you've languaged is what you want. When you hang on to that, you distort everything that comes to you every day, all day long. You force it to fit your language, but the language doesn't fit life. Well, let me ask you this question. If the universe did not or does not create life, but life creates the universe, what image do you have of life that created the universe? But then you see what you did. Oh, well, that means then that, yeah, well, I'm alive. That means that I created the universe. What image do you have from just that statement in there? What image do you have of the life that created the universe? And my question then goes to, would you like to experience that life that created the universe?
That's a contradict what you just told us a minute ago?
What?
That I can't experience it, I have to live it.
No, I said if you're experiencing it, you are not it. I didn't say you'd be that. I said, now, would you like to experience it? Would you like to go along and experience the life that created the universe? Then, wait just a minute now. Let me think a minute. And then are you willing to wear that hat and be that life?
Yeah.
What?
Son of a gun. That's awesome.
But that's where it's going, and it all can't go to that if you're going to follow the language structure that keeps you tied down, and it's such that you won't be willing to say, hey, this is a first and beginning life. There is no continuation. And in that, then, you are free of all the continuing crap, are you not? If you want to continue, then, well, we can't go to karma. Let's see, karma. Wait a minute. Karma, that means you got good stuff and bad stuff, and you got to keep living and doing this in the cycle of birth and death until you balance out your karma so that you have equal amount of good stuff and equal amount of bad stuff. And then only is, oh, well, that is so bullshit. That's language bullshit. I'm saying, are you willing to regenerate yourself right now? And this is, I hate to talk, well, never mind. I was going to give you an example, but I don't want to do that. When you say cleanse yourself, isn't regenerating yourself cleansing yourself? The self?
Very definitely.
And isn't it then reconstituting that self only in terms of abiding, that you're willing to be and live eternally and be proud of in that regard? Hasn't that bypassed your language just by doing that? Because we haven't discussed in any regard the right, wrong things to do. That bypasses good, right, better, best. It bypasses love and compassion. Sorry, Dalai Lama. Are you willing to bypass all the good, right, better, best things in life? And if you stay with the good, right, better, best things in life, which is language, you're screwed. You screwed yourself out of life. So, somewhere or another, we've got to have an evening, a Monday, in where it is so easy for you to talk about this is your first life, this is your, even if you talk to me, let's say for a minute, let's make it a little easier for you, Patrick. Supposing you were, how would you talk to Karen and talk to her about this is her first and only life? And what would you say? You see how I put you outside of yourself? Because your own words and emotions and attitudes and your own desires and beliefs screw you up. But what would you say to Karen? And then, when you got all through with that, know and understand that you just said that to yourself.
That's pretty important, isn't it? That the understanding that as I find the words to describe to Karen, I am speaking to myself.
Okay, let's assume that's the case. How would you speak to Karen? Give me a couple of sentences. It doesn't matter what you, that you're not talking about abiding or anything like that. Just give me a couple of sentences. How would you speak to Karen?
I would say that given that we are living in an ever-expanding universe, and at every instant it's an entirely new universe, that you, Karen,
what did you say? What did you say?
I said, and you, Karen.
Why did you say that?
You are of the universe.
Why did you say that?
Also.
Why did you say that?
Why did I say that? So that she could see that she too is an ever-expanding, changing...
Is Karen sitting there?
She is.
And you're talking to her?
No.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk to her like that.
How would you talk to her?
Well, Karen would usually... Karen might initiate even by saying, can you summarize for me what Roger's been talking about?
Listen. Listen very carefully and pay a fucking attention. The word you was vitally, absolutely important, and the word Karen destroyed it all. When you talk to Karen, when I write, everything I write in you, in the sources, so that when the reader reads it, it's personal to that reader. But when I say you, and I'm reading it, I'm speaking to myself. When you say you, Karen, you're not speaking to yourself anymore. If Karen is there, or if you're writing a letter, or if you're writing to the world, can't you just say you so that everything you say, you're saying to yourself?
I'm pretty sure I get the importance of that.
Then that's the importance of everything you say. Don't talk about them, it, because of, or this. Speak only in terms of you when you're talking, and then you will find very easily that you're living yourself, speaking to yourself.
So that fits even having a discussion or meeting with a client.
Of course they. And even when you present the options to the client, speak in terms of you. You have this option. You can do this. This is the way you can make this work for yourself. Don't you understand that when you say that, you're hearing it? And when you say that in that personal form, you talk you differently to your client. Don't talk about the universe does this and etc. When you're talking, talk you, so that you're absolutely without mistake talking to yourself.
Wow, that's powerful too. Wow, yeah.
Okay. Where are we? Oh, yeah, I got that one. That sheet for Jules. Okay. Let's say for a minute that do you understand that 2 plus 3 equals 5? That this is correct, but it is not a truth?
Well, it's correct, but I'm not sure how to fit in that it's not a truth.
Because the truth must always and in all ways be true.
So that if I have to be really clear, because I could say two oranges plus three apples equal five what?
No.
No, and so it's no longer a truth, is it?
Can't you understand four before? What, can't you understand five alive?
Five what?
Five alive.
Okay.
If you can, then why is it correct, but it's not a truth? Because it's not always and always true. Because five can also be six minus one, four plus one, three plus two, or... 101. Well, every number in the universe, everything universally can be understood and lived if you will declare who you are first. Does that make sense?
Yep.
How do you declare yourself?
by the action I take.
How do you declare yourself? Let me ask you a question. If you generate your body by doing only those things that you'd be willing to be and live eternally and be proud of, have you not in that declared yourself?
Oh, very definitely, yes.
So, that's another reason why it's absolutely vital for you to regenerate yourself, because in that you've declared yourself, and in declaring yourself first, now you're free to be everything or any one thing without losing the self. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's way more than okay. Yeah.
And only by declaring yourself through the process of regenerating your loner body, self, and life to abiding can you have a desirable history and life today. If you generate yourself by both or either one of those processes that I suggested to you, then you have created a desirable history for yourself, have you not?
Very much so.
And your memories are only of those things that you'd be proud of to be and live eternally. And it all begins by saying to you that in order for you to do this, you must have a loner self which you must change to suit yourself. In other words, you have to have a self to know that that doesn't suit you, so that you can know how to change it so that it does suit you. Tell me anywhere along the line where I haven't followed the, in my opinion, the facts of life or the facts of the universe to do these things. And then you reinforce it when you speak in terms of you, or I write it all day long in that regard. So I'm speaking to myself. I wouldn't say anything to you that I wouldn't say to myself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
By using that form of language, that's essentially what you're doing and what you're getting into. I wouldn't say anything to you that I wouldn't say to myself. Well, okay, we've had enough for tonight, I guess. We'll get
into it. Let me tell you, it's a mouthful tonight. Mindful.
Well, go take your epiphany and go to bed and have a drink.